wonderful scriptures we've had from the book of Acts about the coming of the Holy Spirit, about the ascension and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are the great prerequisites of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's coming is directly related to the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've heard that on many lips this morning in different contexts through scripture and prayer. And it's a wonderful thing that Jesus is on the throne. And because he's on the throne, he has poured out the Holy Spirit, whom all of us can know and experience our lives in him. That's a great, a wonderful thing. Now, during the last couple of weeks or so, as part of my daily readings, I've been reading through the books of 1 and 2 Kings. And I love these books because they're some just amazing stories in them. You will remember many of them, I'm sure, just as you think about them. Different ones will flash through your minds. The two widows in the two different Kings books and many others. Amazing stories. And one of the stories that really gripped me this last few weeks is the one that comes in 2 Kings chapter 2. And we're not going to read it because of time. But the amazing parallels between this chapter and Acts chapter 2. 2 Kings 2 is the story of Elijah going back to heaven in a fiery chariot driven by horses and going right back in a whirlwind to heaven. And you know, there are an amazing number of comparisons between that account and the coming of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. So for example, there's the whole thing of fire. There's the clothing. You remember Elijah had the mantle. And the prophetic word from the Lord Jesus when the disciples were gathered together was that they were going to be clothed with power from on high. They had to tarry. And Elisha had to tarry and wait and follow Elijah around. I don't know if you remember this story. So there are these amazing comparisons between the two. And that's because the King's book is really the succession of the prophetic ministry from Elijah to the new coming of the prophet Elisha. And Elisha had spent his time, the latter parts of Elijah's time, caring for Elijah, looking after him, carrying him around, supporting him. And he was going to all sorts of places. He went to Gilgal. And you may remember that Gilgal was the place where they established their camp when they first came into the promised land through the open doorway that God made in the sea or in Jordan, in the Jordan River. And Gilgal was the place where they first established their camp. And Gilgal means the rolling away of the reproach. So finally, all the history of Egypt and the wanderings in the desert had come to an end. And Elijah and the people of God were in the promised land. They were there, having come through the Jordan River, amazingly. And then you may remember that from Gilgal, there were other cities too. So there was, for example, Bethel, which was the house of bread. And Bethel was a very formative place in the history of the people of God, going back to the original time. You may remember when Jacob had his encounter with God there and set up a pillar and worshiped God there, and that became the house of bread, the place where God revealed himself and from which the children of Israel moved forward. Then you may remember that they came to Jericho, which was, of course, the scene of their great triumph, where they, by faith, captured this citadel. And they walked around it, you may remember, until eventually the time when everything crumbled and all the walls fell down. And then Elijah brought Elisha to the River Jordan itself. And you know that the River Jordan is a picture of the death and resurrection, and particularly of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he submitted himself to baptism in the Jordan River long before he went to the cross, long before he was exalted, but nonetheless picturing that this was the place of death and resurrection as people passed through the waters into the new land. And Elisha was following Elijah around, and he wanted to know what Elijah's secret was. He wanted to partake of what Elijah knew. And around him there were people that they were saying, don't you know that you're going to be taken away and that Elijah's going to be taken away from you today? And he said, I know. And they kept saying that to him. It's repetitive over two or three times that you're going to be taken away. Elijah's going to be taken away. And Elisha, you must be there to follow him around and to see him for that moment when he is going to be caught up. Just as Jesus was ascended and they watched him go and the heavens were parted, so Elijah was going to go. And you know that he never died. He went up in a life that was beyond the normal life, the human life. He had life in God in amazing ways. He was a remarkable man. And he said to Elisha, what actually do you want from me? What is it that you want? When the head is removed, this is the picture, they said the head is removed, Elijah was the head, Elisha is the picture of the church. When he's removed, what do you really want, Elisha? And he said, I want a double portion of the Spirit that's upon you. That's an amazing thing to reply, isn't it? Amazing. I want a double portion. Of course, the double portion was the portion that was set aside for the firstborn. And each one of us are firstborn sons of God. And we have the opportunity of answering that question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want from me? I want a double portion. I want to have all that God has got for me as a firstborn son. Does that echo in your heart? A double portion. Elisha wasn't going to settle for anything else. He had shown his intent by his following of Elijah. Elijah had repetitively tried to discourage him from going further. You stay here, I'll go further. But Elisha was not going to be persuaded like that. He wanted to keep his eyes fixed on Elijah. And Elijah's response to his request that he wanted all that he could have as a firstborn son, his response was, if you see me when I'm taken up, then you will receive what you want. And so Elisha was there intently focused, looking, watching, waiting upon Elijah until that moment when the heavens parted and the fiery chariot came down, scooping up Elijah. And he went, ascended up into heaven. And the scripture says, Elisha saw it. He saw it. And he called out. Elijah had said to him, when you see me going up, you should ask. You should ask. He saw Elijah going, and he asked. This is what we can ask. Let me read some scriptures. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. These are the words of the Lord Jesus immediately before he went to the cross. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Elisha saw, and he asked. He asked for that full portion that was his right as a firstborn son. And he grabbed that mantle, you remember, that Elijah had dropped off. And he went back to the Jordan River, and he smote it, and a path was through, and he was able to go into the land. They said, the spirit of Elijah surely rests on Elisha. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? That's what he said when he struck the waters. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I want to know what he knew. I want to know God in the way that he knew God. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in the way that Jesus lived in the power and glory of the Holy Spirit. I can ask. My right, amazingly, because of Calvary, as a firstborn son, I can ask for all that is in the heart of God for my life. You can ask. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Amazing. May the Lord help us to see him, to follow him, to believe him, to ask of him. Hallelujah. I hope you want to know God and an experience of God and know all that he has for you, not to be content, perhaps even with things that you see other people living and knowing, but press through to discover all that God has got for your life as I press through and seek to discover all that he has for mine. Let's pray, shall we? If you've never asked for the Holy Spirit, you can ask. You can know fullness in him. Just like on the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit who revolutionized their lives, changed them from being intimidated, frightened men and women to being bold and witnesses of him wherever they went, both near and far, as they were scattered throughout the then known world. They lived in the power of a life endued by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for Calvary. We thank you for all that we've sung this morning. We thank you for the joy of being able to praise you in our hearts. We thank you for every contribution that has lifted up our gaze afresh and enabled us to gaze upon you, Lord, and to come with open, hungry hearts that we might follow you, discover you, ask of you, receive from you all that we need for life and for godliness is in you, Lord. Help each one of us to reach out afresh, to know you afresh, to live in the great fullness of your Spirit, and to know all that you have for each and every one of us, because we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving you our thanks. Amen.